Testing. This is D.W. Calvert speaking. This is January the 8th, 1980. I'm in Rick's Hall with Ms. Lorna Langley, who for many years was employed in the Home Economics Extension Program, ranging all the way from a county agent or county representative through to a state agent. Ms. Langley, it's good to see you again, and I'd like to have you put in the record something as to your background of where you were born, where you grew up, and what your early childhood and education were like.
I'd be glad to, Dr. Calvert, and it's a pleasure for me to be able to talk to you this morning. I was born in Oriental, North Carolina, down on the coast.
Down in Hugh Harris's country.
Right. He lives two blocks from me. And I came up during the Depression. I was a Depression child. And when I came out of high school, I knew I was going to college, but I didn't know how until I met Mrs. Estelle T. Smith, who was district agent from the Extension Service. And I was telling her of my ambitions, and she didn't say very much except to just talk with me, but she came back to Raleigh and got me a loan to go to school from the Jane S. McKimmon Loan Fund. And I was one of the first loan fund girls. Naomi Carr from Duplin County, Virginia.
That's Naomi Carr, C-A-R-R?
Yeah, she's Parker now, Naomi Carr Parker, and Virginia Ward, and myself were the first three, if I remember correctly. So she got that loan. Well, that wasn't enough money to go to college on. So she turned around and got another loan from me from the Sally Southall Cotton Loan Fund, which was a fund set up by the Women's Clubs of North Carolina. So with the two funds, I went to college at East Carolina, which was ECTC then. And of course, we've had a lot of ribbon over that name through the years. But I had to take home economics in order to qualify for this loan. I had not planned to take home economics. I had planned to be a newspaper reporter, a journalist, etc. But thank goodness somebody rescued me and put me in home economics. So I went down there and I worked and finally got through school. And of course, always my ambition was, after I met Mrs. Smith and I knew my home agent, Mrs. Bessie C. Moore in Oriental, was to be a home agent. And she wanted me to teach, so I taught school in Union County for 2 years.
Now let's back up a moment. What year did you graduate?
1934.
Mm-hmm. And you went immediately into teaching?
Yes. Over in Unionville, which was 8 miles out of Monroe, in the clay dust of Union County. There was no paved roads. And everything, I don't know whether I should say this for the record, everything was ugly in that community to look at. Now, the people were beautiful, but the community itself left a lot to be desired. And I remember the first day I was there, we had a teacher's meeting on Saturday afternoon, and as soon as that teacher's meeting was over, everybody dispersed and went to their homes except me, and I went to the little teacherage, fell across the bed and started crying. But, of course, I pulled myself out of that, and I really enjoyed my 2 years.
The source of your concern then was primarily that it was a lonely, desolate
country. Yes. And we had a broken school term. The children came for a couple of months, and then they had to pick cotton. And so we had to dispense with school, and they picked cotton for 6 or 8 weeks. Then we went back and finished our school term.
And what were you teaching? Were you teaching a grade or a...
Home economics.
You were teaching...
Oh, wait a minute. I was teaching everything in the high school, just about. Civics, which I had to study hard to teach. I taught one class in English, and I taught home economics that first year. I think the second year, I taught civics and biology, which was more nearly akin to what I had studied in school.
Was this before the vocational home economics programs were established?
No, vocational had been established, but this was not a vocational school.
Mm-hmm.
Once we had the vocational supervisor to come to the county, and she worked with the group of home economics teachers, And it was so wonderful to have her there so we could sound out ideas, you know, and get her reaction. I remember that particular meeting very well because it meant so much to me.
Now, how long did you teach?
Just 2 years. And then on the second year, well, after the first year, they called me up here to State College to talk to me about a job in home economics extension, and Ms. McKimmon thought I was too young. And so
how old were you then?
I was 21. And
you'd been out of school
1 year.
1 year.
Uh-huh. And so the second year they called me again, and Mrs. Estelle Smith hired me without Mrs. McKimmon's knowledge, which they could get by with in those days for 1 month. And when Ms. McKimmon found it out, she said, "She is too young. I told you not to hire her." But then I was sent as home agent down to Hope County. Now, Hope is one of the smallest counties in North Carolina. The people were wonderful. They were very poor. And it still is a poor county, comparatively speaking. But they were wealthy in many aspects. And I started home demonstration club work in Hope County. I was the first home agent to work with the women. Now, there had been a home agent before me that had worked with the youngsters and had organized some 4-H club work. That was Naomi Carl Parker. And so she and I conferred right much about the 4-H program, and I worked with both 4-H and the home demonstration club women.
And how long were you there?
I was there 2.5 years. And when I went down there, the only instruction I had to guide me at all was to go down and confer with my county agent, with Mrs. Dan Cameron, with Mrs. P.P. McCain, and talk to them about what the women wanted to do. And do you know what they wanted to do? They wanted their children to have a hot lunch at the schools. And so the first thing we started doing was canning soup mixture for a hot lunch for the children in Hope County.
Now, wasn't this before the schools had cafeterias?
Yes. It was a forerunner of school lunches. And we only had 5 elementary schools and 1 high school in Hope County, so it was well within the women's reach to put a hot lunch. They canned the soup mixture in the summertime, and Dr. Calvert, I've been out in the fields at 5 o'clock in the morning helping those women pull beans, tomatoes, and corn, and what have you, to fix the soup mixture. And then we had a big retort, a steam retort, that we set up out under the trees on bricks, fired it, and we could can, I believe it was 100 cans at the time. We canned over 5,000 quarts of soup mixture.
And the idea for that was generated right in the county,
from the people. That's what they wanted to do. And that's where Extension told me to begin. And so I went out and we'd organize ourselves into groups, and we'd can 1 week in this community and 1 week in another community out under the trees. I remember fishing a little black child out of the tub of soup mixture one time. He was a little toddler and he crawled over and gotten himself about halfway in. And we just pulled him out and put a little more tomato in and canned it up.
That may have been the
probably best soup mixture of that.
Well, that's very interesting. And from Hope County then, what was your next move?
Well, then I was there 2.5 years. One other thing we did in Hope, but I'm very, 2 other things in Hope. One was that we built 10 community buildings. The women were the impetus for it. The WPA furnished the labor and the money. Well, we furnished some money too. And we got 10 tiny little community buildings. They wouldn't be considered much today, but it was a place for them to meet. And so, to this day, some of those buildings are still in use. I remember one community built their own. The men went out and built it with their hands, and the women fed them while they did it. Then the other thing was they had no electricity in most of the rural communities. And so one day I was out talking to one of the leaders, Mrs. Parker, who lived on the Fayetteville Highway between Rayford and Fayetteville. And she said, "Miss Langley, the people here need electricity so bad." And he said, "Isn't there anything we can do?" Well, Extension told me that people could do anything they wanted to do if they wanted to do it bad enough. I said, "Yes, we can do it," because I was green and ignorant and young, and I felt like we could do it. So she said, let's get organized and do it. I said, "All right." So I went back, and I said to my county agent, I said, "Meacham, those women out there in Wayside Community won't get electricity." And I told him they could get it. He said, "You said what?" I said, "Yes, they can get it if they want to bad enough." So the upshot of it was we had them come out for a meeting. And when Meacham and I drove up to that little country church.
Now, Meacham, that was...
That was my county agent.
And his
Mr. H.L. Meacham.
H.L. Meacham.
He was my first county agent and a leader of men. And they loved him in Hope County. To this day, they talk about him. And so we went out to this little church. Well, Dr. Carver, there were horses and buggies and Fords, Model Ts, and all kinds of transportation. The church was full. The people were standing in the yards and standing up on cars at the church windows. And they had a kerosene lamp burning in the church for the light. And he said, "Lorna, what have you done?" I said, "Come on, we're going to do it." So we walked in there, we got our committee set up, and we started to work. We told them it wouldn't come overnight. But after I left there, about 2 years after I left there, there was a little, later on, there was in the REA magazine, there was a little squib on this particular thing. And they said that as a result of that meeting that night, there were 567 miles of power line in Hope County. Now that thrills me to this day.
Well, sure, it should thrill you.
Yeah.
I think that's just one of those examples of what Extension and Extension workers meant to the communities.
But we didn't know any better. We thought we could do it, see?
Well, of course, it's fortunate that there was some institutional development coming along that helped you put it over. It was at the REA that put it in?
Exactly. And old Judge Nemox in Fayetteville was the politician who backed us and helped us. Oh, there was help from all sides,
so
that was the very
But
core.
You had to have the idea, you had to have the will, then you needed some institutional support and some political leadership
to get it done.
Okay, was there anything else in Hope County that was...
Well, they were the big things that I'd like to point out. There were many other wonderful things that came. There was a community spirit that grew that I don't believe was there before.
Now, Mrs. McCain that you mentioned, she was the, living at the TB Sanatorium
yes.
at that time?
Her husband was Dr. McCain that the sanatorium
I've,
was named for.
Spent a night in her home with her when
she
was there.
She was a great lady.
Great lady.
She?
And
yes.
Her husband was a great person.
Yes, he was.
Okay, what was the next...
Then they asked me to go over to Sampson County, and I did not want to leave Hope County. I begged them.
You say they asked you who was...
The Extension Service at State College in Raleigh asked me to go over there. The former home agent, I can't think of her name right now, it'll come to me, but she was retiring. Well, Hope County, I began home demonstration work, helped to begin it. And then they moved me into a county that had Extension work 25 years even then. And that was kind of a big step. Now, I moved into a county where leadership had been developed, where there was more know-how on the women than there was on the part of the agent, for sure. But I had sense enough to listen to my leaders. And Dr. Carver, they made a home agent out of me.
No.
I wasn't a home agent until some of those women got hold of me.
Well, I'm not sure of that. You were at least a home agent in some sense.
In spirit, anyway.
Get that electricity.
Not true.
In Hope County. But you feel that that's the experience that really caused your professional
development
to move out.
They knew what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't always see behind just... If we were going to have a meeting, I didn't always see all the preparation that went into that meeting. They did. Those leaders did. And I can remember right now that Mrs. Jackson from Clement Community would come in and say to me, "Miss Langley, we're having this meeting so-and-so. Now we need to think about this and this and this and this." And they helped me to analyze and put back together the things we needed to do, to think through and then develop whatever we were working on. So I just think they were wonderful to a little green horn that was trying to take hold and do.
And how long were you in that county?
Well, I was there about 2 years.
Now, at that time, Sampson County was mostly a cotton county?
No, let's see, Sampson County, now Hope County was cotton. I think Sampson was more in maybe corn. I don't know about soybeans back there because we didn't grow
them. They grew some tobacco too, didn't they?
Yes, they had some. I can't quite remember all the crops that we had, but I know they grew cucumbers and peppers.
That was the
produce.
The beginning of the produce era down.
Yeah, you see, Fason had that pickle plant.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's what we were in.
Yes. And you were there?
2 years.
2 years.
Then they asked me to go to Durham, and I absolutely refused. Verna Stanton was leaving Durham to come into the state office, and they wanted me to go over and take hold of that program. Well, this was in the period of 39 to 41. The war broke out right after I moved to Durham, and I felt like it was a big step, and I hadn't quite finished the work I wanted to do in Sampson. So I told them no, and they came back the next week and they asked again, and I said no, and every time they'd come, they'd up my salary a little bit. Well, it wasn't much, but it was a lot to a little old girl, and so I finally said yes, I'd have to go. I couldn't do anything else. But I think they offered me about $50 a month more, but they did it in dribbles, you know.
What will you recall what your salary would have been back then?
Yes, I do. I remember in Sampson County I was making $160 a month. And incidentally, maintained probably the best standard of living I've ever had.
Because you could...
Well, I had a cook who washed my clothes and tended all that, and I had a nice apartment and a private home. Beautiful, wide board floors, you know, all polished. And Judge... Jeff Johnson's home. He later became judge. He was a lawyer then.
So you moved into Durham, where you had a big city in your county.
Yes. Let's go back to Sampson.
Okay.
This was the time when we had a cotton surplus, and we decided, or someone decided for us, that we were going to turn this cotton into mattresses for people. So they brought the home agents in and trained us in making mattresses. Now, the idea was not for us to make them, but for us to teach others to make them and set up mattress centers. So we set up 19 centers in Sampson County, and I believe we made around 3,000 mattresses. I may be off a little bit in my figures. We also made 5,000 comforters. Those comforts were padded with cotton padding. And some people slept on mattresses that had never slept on a mattress.
What did they sleep on before they had mattresses?
On pallets on the floor, straw, or whatever.
Did they have straw bed ticks down in that part of the country?
Some of them did, and some of them had nothing. But I want to tell you a story. The specialist from here, Mamie Whisnett, and I went down to look at some homes, you know, that had mattresses and what they were doing with the mattresses. We went into this black lady's home, and she had three mattresses, one on top of the other, piled on a bedstead. And the children were sleeping on the floor. Well, of course, we raised the question why these three were stacked up and the children were sleeping. She said, "Well, I'll tell you," she said, "me and my old man slept on one night, and it felt so good, so we decided we'd put all of them on here," and said, "we're going to take it apart after a while and let the children sleep on it."
That was a whole lot of a good thing.
If a little salt's good, a whole lot of salt's more. Oh, goodness. Anyway, we laughed about that through the years.
Well, anything else on Hope County that you would like to put in? These are all observations that give a sense of what the conditions were in those days.
Yes, it's hard to believe in this sophisticated age in which we live now, what we went through in those days. It seems like a dream to me. We had those mattress centers, I guess, for two to three years. I think they were phased out about the third year. And when I left, they were still making a few mattresses, but they were trying to phase out some of the centers. But while I was in Sampson, we celebrated the 25th anniversary of home demonstration work in the county. And the original agent was Mrs. W.B. Lamb, lived in the county. And she was always a strength and a help to me in anything I tried to do. She was just in there buoying me up, you know. And I got a lot of moral support from those leaders in that county. Anything I attempted, if I'd go and sit down and explain what we were thinking about, then they'd start with the ideas and they'd just tumble over each other, you know.
I think you've touched on something here that is a very interesting point, because there are many instances, and there are instances in some of my interviews with extension workers, in which the person who comes in to succeed somebody else gets the animosity rather
right.
than the support.
True. That's very
and,
true.
It's so so much more productive when there is a team teamwork.
Team approach.
Yes.
Well, they did give me support, and beautiful support. I couldn't ask for anything fine.
Fred Sloan told me about an experience he had out in Franklin when the person he succeeded bought the newspaper and fought everything he did in the newspaper.
Oh, no.
So that's the contrast.
Bad. Yes, that's the contrast.
So you moved over to Durham.
To Durham County. And now the war broke out immediately. I moved on the 3rd, or reported to work on the 3rd, I believe, and then Pearl Harbor was right after. The 7th one.
7th,
I believe. And of course, that was a horrible time for all of us in North Carolina and the world. But the thing we did over there, we started those victory gardens. Everybody was growing food. And the Extension Service employed some women to help city women with gardens and with conserving the food in canning and freezing and drying or whatever. We did all, but we did mostly freezing and canning. And so we employed a girl by the name of Myrtle Hopkins, who worked with the university wives and all the people in Durham to grow gardens. And I want to say Duke University, the professor's wives cooperated just 100%. They were just wonderful to work with. And she worked with them. I still worked with the county people mostly, helping Myrtle as much as I could, you see, and helping her think through her organizational procedures, etc.
Well, did the you say the professors' wives helped? What was the impact of the war on Duke University? Do you recall whether they remained in full operation or?
I don't know about the operation in the academic sense of full operation. I know that they had to train officers, and there was a naval officer training group over there all through the war. I mean, not the same men, but you know, they were coming and going. I don't know. I would imagine that the academic part of training the civilian population was
much curtailed.
Much curtailed in that period.
Many of the professors were probably involved in the service, although I don't know exactly what happened to Duke.
Well, it was involved with the Navy, I remember.
Did you have any observation about the role that the women generally played during that war period when so many of the men were away in the service?
Well, I remember one thing that we did as a cooperative thing, the county agent. And the home agent, he came to me one day and he was trying to get some information across about pastures. And he said, "Miss Langley, I'm just not getting it across to the men." And he said, "I think if we could talk with the women, that when they go back home and talk with their men, the two of them put their heads together, we might come out better." So one time, I don't know whether it was 1 month or 2 months, that we devoted to developing pastures for meat animals in Durham County. But Mr. Pace and I would go to the meeting together. And I tried to advertise it, give the women notice, you know, that our county agent would be there for this particular occasion, and he had some things he wanted to say to them, and we had a good response. And later he told me he thought it was one of the nicest, best programs we ever really did together. And I felt out of it did come some good in improved pastures. And
well, I guess the Extension Service found a challenge, as it has so many times when national demands have become apparent, that it had to.
That's right.
Food supply became
it
a very
so
important
vital. Yes.
Part.
It was so important.
And the Victor Gardens were an important source of food.
Yes, and we loved our work with those city women, and I felt after that their warmth and support for what we were trying to do had so been increased and enhanced that we could do our job a lot easier.
During that same period of time, I was superintendent of the research station at Swannanoa.
Uh-huh.
And we had the Victor Garden program in Buncombe County, working with the Extension people, of course, with the leaders, but
yes.
I worked with them, and we had meetings with men's clubs. I still have some of the notes from the speeches that I made to the clubs in Asheville on
the
Victor Gardens.
And I bet you feel good about that work, too.
And we had a lot of enthusiasm about
mm-hmm.
it. So how long were you in Durham County then?
I was there 4 years.
You were there through the war?
I was there through the war.
Spent mm-hmm. the whole war period there.
Yes, and I just think that the Durham County people also are wonderful people, and they certainly responded to us and what we were trying to do.
And where did those people over at Raleigh send you next?
Well, Pauline Gordon got hold of me. She and I did some work together. What we were trying to do was improve kitchens in Durham County. And
now, Pauline Gordon was at that time
the home management and house furnishing specialist.
Yes.
And probably one of the best specialists we'll ever have.
Working from the
state
central
office
here in Raleigh.
Right. And her idea was to get an improved kitchen in most of the communities in the county and let people come in and see that. This was a time when people were still keeping what they call slop buckets behind the stove, and the fumes from that would just go out. And I had the hardest time getting rid of those of most anything we did, but I think we finally just about did it.
That is, they put all of the dishwater and scraps,
everything
and
for
everything.
The pigs.
For the pigs.
I don't know how the pigs ate it,
yeah.
But they did.
They did.
And then, of course, the if you poured something in this pail, something would spill over and the flies would come, and it was a horrible thing in the kitchens of rural North Carolina, and I guess of the South forever. But so she and I started to work, and I could take you to some of those kitchens this very day, and we'd put a demonstration in one kitchen. She would work with one homemaker, and the husband and the wife, and together they'd improve their kitchen. Then we'd bring in the community to see what they'd done, and they'd go out and do some of the things anyway, maybe not all. So Pauline kind of spotted me, because I think we did have a pretty good program in that. And she asked me one day, would I be interested in coming in with her in the state office? Well, this scared me to death.
I don't really think it scared you. I think you like to be scared.
It really did, Dr. Cox. And I first said, well, I didn't think so, you know, but I thought about it, and they kept coming back. And finally, I agreed to go away to graduate school and went to Iowa State for a year, a little more than a year, to get my master's degree in home management, which then at that time meant the management of the resources of the home, the money, the time, the energy, etc. And course, we did a little bit more than that, but that was our title and that was the nature of the work. So I came back then to State College and as an assistant specialist, Pauline, and we together did a lot of good work.
You came back with your master's degree?
Yes. Uh-huh.
And then you worked as a specialist for a number of years?
Yes. Let me think. Now it gets a little fuzzy right here. I think it was 3 years. Yes, I think that's right. 3 years I worked as a specialist, assistant specialist. And then they asked me if I would become a district agent, which is a supervisor of home agents in North Carolina in a particular area of the
You were in the specialist area when I first came to down to
I
NC
was.
State to the campus.
Yes.
And I recall, don't recall the year, but I do recall when you were asked to become a district agent.
Yes, it was, I think it was 49, I think that's right.
Now, let's back up for just a moment. We've talked about the extension program in the county, and now we're getting to the state level. Dean I.O. Schaub was the director of extension all the while up until he retired, wasn't he?
Yes.
And Miss Jane McKimmon was the
they called her the state home demonstration agent.
State home demonstration agent. Up until she retired.
Yes, and that was the first year that I came in. I served 1 year under Dr. McKinnon.
So that most of your career was with Miss Current.
Right, Miss Ruth Current.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I believe that's correct. Now, Dr. McKinnon, I came in the summer of 36. Yeah, that's right. And I believe she retired the following year.
I don't recall the exact date.
I believe that's right.
Mm-hmm. On Miss Current for just a moment, we may get back to it later, but what was Miss Current's, what was she doing before she came into the state office here? Was she the home agent in Iredell County or Roy?
She was. She was a home agent in Iredell. And then she did, I think, Dr. Collins, she did some work with Mr. Harrell in 4-H Club work.
In 4-H Club work.
I believe she did. And I'm not quite sure of the steps in her career.
I was just trying to recall whether she was here as a...
She was assistant to Dr. McKimmon when I came
in. She was assistant. Oh,
yes,
oh, yeah.
She was.
That's the point.
Uh-huh.
So she was assistant to Dr. McKimmon when you came in.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so that Dean Schaub was the director.
That's right.
Miss McKimmon was the state home agent, I guess.
That's
she
right.
was called at mm-hmm. that time. Miss Current was her assistant.
That is correct.
For a period of time.
Yes.
And then Miss Current became the state home agent.
And Miss Verna Stanton was her assistant.
And Miss Verna Stanton became her assistant.
Uh-huh.
And they would have been the ones who would have been... along with the specialist Pauline Gordon and others who would have approved.
They were our leaders.
They were the ones who recruited you, really. Miss Gordon
exactly.
recruited you, but the others had to approve
oh,
it.
Oh, absolutely.
And support
yes,
it.
With Miss Current's full approval. Mm-hmm.
Well, then, what led you toward being a district agent? Who spotted you again as...
Well, I'll tell you who I really think it was. It was Pauline Hotchkiss Pierce. Pauline and I lived together for a couple of years, and when she left to go to live with her dear husband, John.
That's J.C. Pierce?
J.C. Pierce.
Yes.
Miss Current was talking with her who would replace her, or who they could get on the staff, and she mentioned my name. I don't think Miss Current really looked with a whole lot of favor on this at first. But I believe Pauline talked her into her approaching me. And
that's Pauline...
Pauline Hotchkiss, she was.
Hotchkiss. Not Pauline Gordon.
No, not Pauline Gordon. Pauline Hotchkiss Pierce. And so Miss Current brought me in and talked to me, and we had a nice conference. And she didn't make the offer flatly then. Of course, she had to confer with you and Dean Schaub and whoever, you know.
Well, but, that was probably before I came. I became dean in 53.
Did you? Well,
and this was before that.
Yeah, this was 49. Dr. Hilton was
Dr.
here,
Hilton.
Wasn't
he? Dr. Hilton.
It was Dr. Hilton.
Was the dean at that time.
That's right.
And I guess right about that time, Dean Schaub retired.
Yes, it was around that time, and that's hazy to me. I'm not sure of the exact year.
Yes, well, we have that in the record.
Yes, I'm sure you do.
Yes.
But, so then she talked to me again, and I accepted. I was very, very fearful of that job because I inherited a district. It was the old Northeastern District. There were 17 counties in it. No, 18 counties, excuse me. And some of the most experienced agents we had in the service was in this district. And I was a little afraid of them, frankly. I didn't know how they'd react. I was younger than they and less experienced and felt all this in my heart, you see. Well, only one of them gave me any trouble at all. And the other agents handled her pretty much for me. So I really never had much difficulty in the district and learned to love the older agents.
Now, as a district agent, it was your duty to work with the home agents in all of these counties, and you reported directly to Miss Current, did you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And,
conferring with my district farm agent.
Farm agent. Mm-hmm.
And we would plan programs, some together, some separately. And our responsibility was to see that agents were trained to do the job asked of them, which meant coordinating programs with the specialists, of course, always through Miss Current, you know.
You also had some responsibility for you and the farm agents for recruiting personnel, didn't you?
Recruiting personnel and maintaining budgets and trying to raise budgets in the counties, you see.
You served as liaison with the county commissioners.
From the Extension Service.
From the Extension Service.
Exactly. And the Home Economics Training, then we had some responsibility to leadership in those days, too, because the strong leaders of the county, we worked with them too.
Well, then you were in the trying to get the sort of get this career framed in here. You were in the district agent's position.
I was in that district for 12 years and worked with Mr. E. L. Norton, one of the finest men I've ever known. He's a fine Christian gentleman. And I felt that morale was higher then in that district than I had ever known anywhere. And I think it was because we had such marvelous agents and I had such a marvelous district farm agent to work with.
You and Neil Norton shared confidence in each other, I think.
Oh, absolutely. We talked over everything together.
And that brings us all the way down to what year then?
Now that would have been 19 and, 12 years from 49 would put it to where?
61 or something.
1961 or 2, I've forgotten. It seemed like it was 62 in my mind. And then they sent me over to the Southwestern District. That included the Charlotte area, Salisbury, and all that. Well, I went as far west as Marion and Tryon. That's not Kansas City, but that's the town. I was over there about 5 years.
And that, so that you shifted to another district for 5 years?
Yes.
And then?
And then my co-worker was John Pylon, and that was another fine man.
Yes.
And he and I worked together hand in hand.
You were the district agent in that district when I came back to the state in 60, I believe.
Yes, I remember you're coming to the university at Charlotte as chancellor.
And then you stayed there, and what happened then?
Well, after that, Eloise needed an assistant, Eloise Cofer, who was then directing the Extension Home Economics Program.
Now, Ms. Cofer came in when Ms. Current
left.
Retired.
Well, except for 1 year. Nell Connett
was acting
head for 1 year. And then Dr. Copeland came in.
Dr. Copeland came in.
Yes. And so when Nell left, she retired. Then they asked me to take her position. So I came in with her. And one of my big things there, they had concentrated the recruiting of personnel into that office then for all the home agents in the state. So that kept me pretty busy. I had other duties, but that was probably the biggest one that I had.
And you stayed in that until your retirement?
Yes, in 69.
In 69.
Mm-hmm.
So that all told, you had more than 30 years in
Yes,
in
I had 31 or 33. 1936 to 69.
33 years.
And 2 years teaching, so 35 years in the state.
And this means that you you not only had every position in the Extension Service in one way or another, but you had more than one county and more than one district experience.
Yes.
In which makes for a very rich career in toto. Well, I think this gives a nice picture of the span of your work, and I'd like to shift now to some other views and have you identify some of the greatest problems that you have seen in the total extension program. I know that there was a time when the women's work was the status of women was being changed.
Mm-hmm.
When women were receiving more responsibilities in some of the counties, and when there was a debate at the state level. I remember this one instance very well, when there was a good bit of controversy. But I'd like for you now, if you would, just to share some of your views about what you regard as some of the general barriers or the general high water marks in the home demonstration work. What were some of the things that had to be done, and what do you regard as the major changes that occurred in home demonstration work over the entire span of your career?
That's a big order, Doctor.
I know it's a big order, but there must be some specific things.
Well, I would say perhaps the hardest period for both men and women was trying to build a structure, an organizational structure for home demonstration agents, and define their role and their place in home economics under the School of Agriculture. Looking at it coldly now from a distance, I hope I can gain a little bit better perspective than I could when I was in the heat of the moment. It's been hard. It's been hard on the men. It's been hard on the women. Because here you've got a group of home economists trained in certain areas. You've got a group of agriculturists trained in certain areas. In some of these places, particularly in the foods area, they come together and you march down the road hand in hand. In other areas, they diverge quite a bit. And I think the old way, and I hope it's not because I'm retired and maybe getting old fogey, I think in the beginning the leaders saw that a team approach was the best approach. And it's the only approach that I think has worked well. I know there has to be a head, and there has to be a place where somebody says, no, we can't, or yes, we can, or whatever. But by and large, the old county agents, the old home agents, made a team approach to solving problems for and with people. And the big clash that came here was when we thought we should change the structure around, and you had to use the same people. Now, if you could have fired everybody and come in with a clean slate, which you can't do, you might have gotten farther, faster. But you had to start with what you had and keep what you had. I still think to this day that old team approach you can't beat. because it brings out the best in you. It doesn't put one person over another. And even when our jobs required us to be, well, we think he's the boss and, you know, she's under so-and-so. Actually, it wasn't that way at all, because you couldn't get anywhere without those agents following you.
It seems to me that that's a very important point, that if structure becomes foremost in our minds, we become victims of structure.
Well, that's what I felt we were at one time. I think we pulled out of it to some extent, but there's still, I don't know what's happening to extension. I know one thing, we've trained leaders and to take leadership roles in the counties, and they have not just been leaders for extension and farming, etc. They become the leaders for every other organization and everything out there. Well, that's drained them away from what used to be their main focus of helping with the extension program. And that's been good in a way, and yet it's hurt extension. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do. I think I do. Well, hasn't it been true that for quite a long period of time now that the Extension Service has emphasized the training of one sort or another for its people?
It has, and we've had to upgrade ourselves academically to take our place on an academic campus, and I know that. At the same time, I remember one time just before I left the staff, I looked at the number who were attending school, and I've forgotten how many there were exactly, Dr. Colbert, but let's say there's 100 in school for 3 months out of the year. And they're trying to hold on to their jobs at the same time. Now, something's got to give. This may be good in the long run, but it's kind of hard on the short run.
That is so much time devoted to training that they tend to lose touch with the actual day-to-day operation.
Yes, and I appreciate the same time the pressure on our leaders to upgrade these people. So I don't know. It's been a rough, rough time for extension, I think. And of course, now we're getting people with master's degrees right out of school. They go right on through 5 years before...